Massasoit had considerable experience with Europeans. His father had sent Martin Pring on his way 17 years before. But that was before the epidemic, when Massasoit had the option of expelling them. Now he told the Pilgrims that he was willing to leave them in peace, a bluff, since driving them away would have taxed his limited resources. But in return, he wanted the settlers' assistance with the Narragansett. To the Pilgrims, the Indians' motives for the deal were obvious. They wanted European technology on their side. In particular, they wanted guns. "He thinks we may be of some strength to him," Winslow said later, "for our pieces, guns, are terrible to them." In fact, Massasoit had a subtler plan. It is true that European technology dazzled Native Americans on first encounter, but the relative positions of the two sides were closer than commonly believed. Contemporary research suggests that indigenous peoples in New England were not technologically inferior to the British, or rather, that terms like superior and inferior do not readily apply to the relationship between Indian and European technology. Guns are an example. As Chaplin, the Harvard historian, has argued, New England Indians were indeed disconcerted by their first experiences with European guns. The explosion and smoke, the lack of a visible projectile. But the natives soon learned that most British colonists were terrible shots, from lack of practice. Their guns were little more than noisemakers. Even for a crack shot, 17th century guns, which did not have rifled barrels, had fewer advantages over a longbow than may be supposed. Settlers in Jamestown taunted the Powhatan in 1607 with a target they believed impervious to an arrow shot. To the colonists' dismay, an Indian sank an arrow into it a foot deep, which was strange, being that a pistol could not pierce it. To regain the upper hand, the English set up a target made of steel. This time the archer burst his arrow all to pieces. The Indian was in a great rage. He realized, one assumes, that the settlers had cheated. When the Powhatan later captured John Smith, Chaplin notes, Smith broke his pistol rather than reveal to his captors the awful truth that it could not shoot as far as an arrow could fly. At the same time, Europeans were impressed by American technology. The foreigners, coming from a land plagued by famine, were awed by maize, which yields more grain per acre than any other cereal. Indian moccasins were so much more comfortable and waterproof than stiff, moldering English boots that when colonists had to walk for long distances, their Indian companions often pitied their discomfort and gave them new footwear. Indian birch bark canoes were faster and more maneuverable than any small European boat. In 1605, three laughing Indians in a canoe literally paddled circles round the lumbering dory paddled by traveler George Weymouth and seven other men. Despite official disapproval, the stunned British eagerly exchanged knives and guns for Indian canoes. Bigger European ships with sails had some advantages. Indians got hold of them through trade and shipwreck and trained themselves to be excellent sailors. By the time of the epidemic, a rising proportion of the shipping traffic along the New England coast was of indigenous origin. Reading Massasoit's motives at this distance is a chancy business, but it seems likely that he did not want to ally with the foreigners primarily for their guns, as they believed. Although the sachem doubtless relished the possibility of additional firepower, he probably wanted more to confront the Narragansett with the unappetizing prospect of attacking one group of English people at the same time that their main trading partners were other English people. Faced with the possibility of disrupting their favored position as middlemen, the Narragansett might think twice before staging an incursion. Massasoit, if this interpretation is correct, was trying to incorporate the Pilgrims into the web of native politics. Not long before, Massasoit had expelled foreigners who stayed too long in Wampanoag territory. But with the entire Confederation now smaller than one of its former communities, the best option seemed to be allowing the Pilgrims to remain. It was a drastic, even fatal, decision.